last August, seven leading companies and their affiliates filed legal action against Australian ISP iiNet. The suggestion was that iiNet failed to take reasonable steps to prevent unauthorised use of copies of the company's films. To shed some light on this issue, we're joined by Dr. Tama Leva. Good morning to you, Tama.
Good morning.
So this could have some pretty good repercussions for the internet. What do you think about all this?
It's of huge concern and seems, to most reasonable people, completely unfair, because what are being asked to take responsibility for is what people do with the internet in general. And it's a bit like saying if you have a traffic accident, let's blame the people that built the roads to a large extent, which seems ridiculous in so many ways. What actually happened, as I understand it, is that iiNet was asked to disconnect a bunch of customers who was alleged by AFACT, which is the Australian Federation Against Copyright Theft, a bunch of people, they said, these people are clearly sharing files illegally and downloading stuff they don't have rights to, please cut them off. iiNet's response, of course, was, well, we can't just do it on the basis of an accusation. We're happy to pass on the information you've given us and what information we think is reasonable to the police, and they can determine whether anything should happen, which seems the sensible route to take. But that wasn't enough for AFACT, and so a bunch of Hollywood studios and Channel 7 have joined together to try and sue iiNet.
Why was iiNet specifically singled out for all this?
The people that run iiNet have been fairly outspoken about saying that they should be able to, draw a reasonable line and not have to cross that, and that there is a particular set of rights that their customers have, and indeed a particular set of rights that they should have as a provider, not to be a policeman. And I think, it's one of those things where if iiNet does get successfully sued, then it would set precedent and everybody else would fall in line for fear of being sued as well.
Mm. And I guess the difficult thing about this is because we're looking at the issue of responsibility. I mean, where do you think the responsibility should lie here? You seem to be pretty much for perhaps individuals or maybe even law enforcement taking responsibility for this as opposed to the ISP.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think... having an intermediary, if you like, responsible for what people do makes any sense at all. I do think people ultimately are responsible for their actions and the choices they make. I do think that the sort of punishments that are being handed out for file sharing are incredibly disproportionate. There was a case recently in the US where someone had to pay $675,000 for downloading 30 tracks.
Wow.
Clearly that's not meant to be a proportional punishment, but it's supposed to be a case that scares the other 99.9% of the population into doing what the big companies want. And it seems, while there is certainly an element of illegal file sharing that could potentially damage the industry in particular ways, it's also the case that there are alternative models for sharing music and indeed for monetizing music, if you like, that are the future, and where I would suggest that big music companies should be looking. I mean, we have the famous example of Nine Inch Nails that released Ghosts 1-4 under a Creative Commons license, putting the whole thing out there for free. And it was commercially one of their most successful albums because people liked the music and they wanted to go and buy something physical to hold on to.
Yeah. What do you think of the whole sharing issue, though? I mean, can you really classify this as sharing, do you think?
It's a difficult thing. I mean, the proportion of sharing, of file sharing, is much higher than it would have been, say, in sort of pre-internet times. Obviously, we always made mixtapes, we always swapped music with friends and so on and so forth. Clearly, with the digital, there's no loss of quality and things like that. So a third generation cassette tape you copied when I was in high school sounded really quite atrocious.
Yeah.
You don't have that now. I do think there is a balance to be found. I think if increasingly there are legal options now. I mean, one of the big problems to start with was you couldn't buy most of this music legally in the first few weeks that it came out in the States. So why would you, why would you wait? But now I think there are increasing legal options available. iTunes is obviously the big leader on that front, and that's great. But I also think there needs to be a sobering effect in the industry. I think they sort of think that every file that's downloaded would have been a potential sale otherwise, and I think that's completely the wrong way to look at it. I think a lot of people download music, to sample it, excuse me, to get a sense of what it is. And most people who really love a band will, of course, go and buy their CDs. But even if they don't, they'll probably go to their live show, which is where a lot of bands make the most of their money today.
Yeah, right. Totally. Just on that, do you think the film industry is fighting a losing battle in some sense, though? Because it's very hard to draw the line, like you said. I mean, what about someone sending a file to one of their friends, which is, I guess, technically the same sort of thing, but on a smaller scale? I mean, do you think measures can be put in that they can sort of control this fairly to everyone?
Not really. I think the idea of control is what the sort of music and film industries have had a monopoly on. And I think today it's a losing battle. Every control and every prevention measure you can think of, some clever teenager in you know, Europe will find a way to get around in 3 days. So I think it's about trying to win the hearts and minds of people. It's about trying to put reasonable prices back onto things and saying that if you do like it, here's a legal avenue to get it. I think the other major challenge, especially in terms of films, is that it's incredibly hard to get films legally. Certainly, the speed with which things can come out on file sharing networks can be months ahead of a legal option to purchase that in Australia, and that's ridiculous. If it's going to be available, it should be available legally, and if the legal version is relatively cheap and the easiest way to get more people would take that choice.
Hmm. And what sort of precedent do you think the outcome of these proceedings will take? Because it has potential to have a huge effect on pretty much all ISPs, I'd imagine.
Oh, absolutely. If iiNet was successfully sued, then I think it would create an incredibly dangerous precedent in Australia. I think once an ISP is asked to enforce anything, I think the potential for them to become a moral policeman and a censor in other ways is incredibly strong. So I think it's incredibly important that, you know, AFACT is not successful and that iiNet stands strong.
Mm. The internet can sometimes kind of be its own worst enemy in these sort of cases, can't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things where you set a precedent in, you know, I mean, even you think Australia's not the biggest country by world standards, but a precedent set here could very much ripple across the globe as well. And I think I couldn't say strongly enough that suing an ISP for what individual users do is completely the wrong way to go about things.
Right, and I think a lot of people will be keeping an eye on this one. Is there any idea as to when some sort of decision is going to be made?
I understand it is going into the courts more substantially this year. I don't have the exact dates on me, but it's definitely one to watch.
Definitely. Could change the way we all view movies and music. Dr. Tom Oliver, thank you very much for filling us in on that one.
My pleasure.